From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
We have repaired the damage to this building, but we cannot repair the damage to your hearts. No words can take away your grief. No amount of time can make sense of the worst terrorist attack in American history.
That was Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin at the Pentagon today, marking the 23rd anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on the United States. This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us. House Speaker Mike Johnson announced earlier today that the vote on a temporary funding measure with the SAVE Act attached will be delayed while the GOP leaders continue to build consensus.
No vote today, because we're in the consensus building business here in Congress with small majorities. That's what you do. That's what I've been doing since I became Speaker. We're having thoughtful conversations, family conversations within the Republican conference, and I believe we'll get there. So people have concerns about all sorts of things. That's how the process works, and sometimes it takes a little more time.
I met with the Speaker earlier today, and he is committed to ensuring the integrity of this fall's election by making sure only legal ballots are cast. And that, of course, is what the SAVE Act is about. We're going to talk with Texas Congressman Chip Roy, who was the author of the original SAVE Act. And Vice President Kamala Harris and ABC's Lindsay Davis were serving up some whoppers last night.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born. Madam Vice President, I want to get your response to President Trump.
Well, as I said, you're going to hear a bunch of lies. And as you rightly mentioned, nowhere in America is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion. That is not happening. It's insulting to the women of America.
Talk about lies. Melissa Oden, founder and director of the Abortion Survivors Network, is here to fact check ABC and Kamala Harris. It just so happens that the Family Research Council has a new resource on state laws regarding babies born alive after failed abortions. Mary Sock joins me. Speaking of the debate, who is actually debating?
Crime in this country is through the roof. And we have a new form of crime. It's called migrant crime. And it's happening at levels that nobody thought possible.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But
Vice President Harris, the FBI defrauded statements. They didn't include the worst cities. They didn't include the cities with the worst crime.
That was ABC's David Muir debating President Trump last night. And
we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. Mm-hmm. and you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
That, of course, was Vice President Kamala Harris. Birds of a woke feather flock together. The Harris campaign announced a list of big business leaders endorsing her for president last week. Now, that is not super surprising, given the cozy relationship we've seen between the left and big business, but the other side of this woke coin tells another story, a very revealing story. Suzanne Bowdy with the Washington Stand is here with the details. The website, TonyPerkins.com, and let me remind you once again, coming up very, very soon, October the 3rd through the 6th, here in our nation's capital, is this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit. Make plans now to join us and be a part of the Pray Vote Stand Summit, October the 3rd through the 6th, here in Washington, D.C. To find out more, go to prayvotestand.org. All right, members of the House of Representatives are currently on the House floor for a series of votes. Not up for a vote today, however, is the continuing resolution for government spending. That includes the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, or SAVE Act for short. House Speaker Mike Johnson pulled the scheduled vote for a stopgap funding plan while party leaders work to build consensus on this extension that avoids a year-end omnibus package or a government shutdown. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Chip Roy, who is on the House floor. I don't think we, do we have him yet? Let's go to Victoria Marshall. Get the latest on this from Capitol Hill. Victoria? All right, Victoria, give us the latest on the SAVE Act and the CR.
Yeah, well, Speaker Mike Johnson pulled the bill from a vote from the House floor today because he realized he didn't have the necessary votes to pass the bill. There's at least 15 House Republicans that were going to vote against it. That's at least what leadership's is saying. And at least seven Republicans said they publicly would not vote for it. So right now, Speaker Johnson and his team are going to be using the weekend to try and build a consensus and flip those no votes to see if they can pass it next week.
All right. We'll see if we get to thank you, Victoria. We're going to see if we get Chip Roy here with us in just a moment. But I was actually on the Hill earlier today in a meeting with the speaker discussing this issue. So here's what we have. We have the House has passed about three quarters of the funding bills. There's 12 appropriations bills. They have about 72% of government funding has been approved by the House, gone to the Senate. And guess what? The Senate hasn't dealt with it. It's just sitting there. This has been the mode of operation since the Democrats have been controlling the Senate. So here's what will happen. Here's the scenario. So the House will pass these budget bills. They'll go to the Senate. The Senate won't do anything with them until the very last minute. And then they will do an omnibus filled with all kinds of bad stuff and dare the Republicans to not pass it and shut the government down. So what House Speaker Mike Johnson has done is kind of getting a jump on this before the end of the year, doing this now in September to do a continuing resolution for 6 months into March with the SAVE Act attached. Now, what the SAVE Act does is, and if we get Chip Roy, he'll explain it more because he's the author of the bill, but essentially what it does is makes very clear that you cannot register to vote unless you can prove you're a citizen. Here's what's happening. Some states allow illegal immigrants, non-citizens, to register and vote in their state and local elections. But when you get a ballot, remember when you go into the ballot booth, when you go into the voting booth, you don't get a ballot for federal elections and a ballot for state elections. You just get one ballot. And if you're, in many cases, not having to give proof of citizenship or anything else, you're voting. And that's been proven to be the case. Now, the Democrats say it's not happening. It's already illegal. Yes, it's illegal, but it's not being enforced because of the system that's set in place. This would put in place a system that makes very clear that if you're not a citizen, you can't register and you can't vote in federal elections. Pretty straightforward. So if you're against illegal voting, you should be for the SAVE Act. Now, the House has already passed the SAVE Act. It's gone to the Senate, and guess what? Hadn't moved. Chuck Schumer refuses to take it up. So what the House is trying to do is force the hand of the Senate by putting this onto a must-pass piece of legislation, which is the continuing resolution. Now, the problem, as we just heard, is that there are a handful of Republicans who do not want to vote for this. And I understand there's some that they don't want to vote for CRs. They feel like it's time to get away from CRs. Agreed. CRs are a bad way to do business. But worse than CRs are omnibus bills. And here's the options. Here are the options before Congress. I've seen this play before. I know how the movie ends. So what happens is if they don't take this action now, and they're going on the offense by doing this, what you're going to have is at the in December, which is going to be a lame duck session of Congress, you will have you'll probably get a temporary CR at the end of September that will push this into December. And so at the end of the year, when you have a lame duck session of Congress and nothing good happens in a lame duck session, you're going to get an omnibus and it's going to be a Christmas tree filled with all kinds of stuff for the left, for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, as the Democrats lose, hopefully, control of Congress. So this is a time. And so it would be very helpful for you to contact your members of Congress and tell them to support the SAVE Act and on this continuing resolution to get past the end of the year into the next Congress, hopefully to get back to regular order when it comes to budgeting. So that's, again, the continuing resolution and the SAVE Act. All right. I just got word Chip is headed to the cloakroom. We'll give him a chance to get there. I do want to talk a little bit more about this debate. We're going to talk about it a little bit later, but it was it's stunning how truth is evading our public discourse. And if you watch that debate last night, there was an absence of truth, and to blatantly say that there are not that the Democratic Party's policy is not to allow babies to be aborted up till birth and beyond, to say that's not happening in the United States, it is. And we're going to talk about that coming up in our next segment. Just so happens the Family Research Council this week put out a report showing the states that have no laws, no restrictions, and there are some states that actually report numbers, and we know this is happening. It is in fact happening. In fact, let me play this clip, because I don't think I can play this too often. Play clip number one.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born. Madam Vice President, I want to get your response to President Trump.
Well, as I said, you're going to hear a bunch of lies. And as you rightly mentioned, nowhere in America is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion. That is not happening. It's insulting to the women of America.
We only have about 8 to 10 states that actually report on abortions, late-term abortions, this information. So just out of those states that do report, we have over 270 of these abortions that occurred last year. That's just out of a handful of states. And, of course, most want to cover this up. And we now have the abortion pill that is being sent across state lines into pro-life states. So there was a very clear contrast. And I have to say, I thought former President Trump was very clear in prosecuting his case on the abortion issue and showing who is so extreme. And it is the Democratic Party that's extreme on this issue, where they do support abortion up until the moment of birth and beyond. And all this talk about, well, we want to codify Roe into law. That is what Roe is. Roe v. Wade is abortion until birth. And that is what they want to make the policy of this nation, in addition to erasing almost every pro-life law that's on the books in the states, regardless of what the states have done. That is what the Democratic Party stands for. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. Melissa Oden joins me. She is a survivor of a failed abortion attempt, and now she has a network of those who have survived abortions themselves. She joins us next here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. A lot more Washington Watch still ahead. In fact, during the break, go to PrayVoteStand.org and register for this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit. Again, that's PrayVoteStand.org, coming up October the 3rd through the 6th. Don't go away. More Washington Watch straight ahead.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
We'll be right back. Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, SageCon, to learn more. That's SageCon, SageCon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
To Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. All right, I want to play a clip for you from last night's presidential debate where ABC News's Lindsay Davis actually became a debate participant when she said the following after Donald Trump pressed Kamala Harris on her support of abortion up until birth and beyond.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born. Madam Vice President, I want to get your response to President Trump.
Well, as I said, you're going to hear a bunch of lies. And as you rightly mentioned, nowhere in America is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion. That is not happening. It's insulting to the women of America.
Oh, that's a fair fight. You know, two women and one man against Donald Trump. All right, let's fact check ABC. 21 states allow abortion until birth. All right. 15 states have no laws protecting babies that are born alive after a failed abortion. In those states, the baby who's born alive dies. Of course, there's evidence to suggest that in some cases, they're left to die. In other cases, they're not left to die. They are assisted in dying. Joining me now to discuss this is Melissa Oden, founder and director of the Abortion Survivors Network. She herself is a survivor of a botched saline infusion abortion. Melissa, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much, Tony.
All right, let me get your reaction to Lindsay Davis's comments last night refuting President Trump when he pressed Kamala Harris.
Well, if we want to use the word insulting, I think I can speak on behalf of our population of survivors to say it's insulting to be told that this doesn't happen and that these kind of things just simply, right, we don't exist. This is the most marginalized, silenced population that I know of in our world today. And the fact that the media gets away with quote unquote fact checking and still denying our existence when there are not only stories of survivors and the moms who went through it, clinic workers, abortionists, but we have research, Tony, that is talking about second trimester abortion and live births. And yet they're still trying to say this doesn't happen.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of those facts, because even though there's just a handful of states that actually report on this, we still have some numbers that show very clearly this does happen.
We do. And you know, in the 10 states that we're looking at, we see about 270 reported cases. And I want to be clear about something. The other side loves to say that this doesn't happen, and that's why we don't even report it anymore. But if folks even go to these maps that you guys updated today, so thank you so much for updating those maps. When people look at the overlay of what abortion laws are and where states have repealed abortion protection, so New York, Illinois, Minnesota, folks can clearly see this is not an anomaly. We know what the playbook of the abortion industry and lobby is: unregulated, unrestricted abortion, and stripping born alive reporting and rights. This is not a coincidence, Tony. They know exactly what they're doing. They know that unrestricted abortion leads to live births after abortion, and they simply don't want to report it, and they don't want to acknowledge the fact that therefore children like me are not being provided medical care.
Let's talk about that element of the non-reporting, because that also was brought up in last night's debate. Now, there have been measures that have been introduced into Congress that would require states to report on various elements of abortion, because states are not required to report this information. So it's hard to have actual accurate data. So one of the charges, one of these false charges from Kamala Harris against Donald Trump, is that he wants the government to monitor pregnancies and miscarriages. I mean, this, like, as if some big brother is going to be, you know, watching what you do in terms of your pregnancy. This is the reporting asset. They're trying to make this radioactive so that that data will not be reported, so that we will not know, as you were just saying, what they're doing.
Absolutely. Dr. Willard Cates of the CDC said this decades ago, right? Essentially, he said, you know what, these go underreported because we know what would happen, the public clamor that would happen if the public knew how often this was happening. And so, you know, this is where I want to encourage people to not only think for themselves, but question the media. And for those of us who know the truth, be willing to have these conversations with friends and family to say, listen, I know you think you know, but I got to encourage you to live with this cognitive dissonance and understand that there's more to this story than what you're hearing even in these debates. And, you know, what I would encourage people to do, our website, abortionsurvivors.org, is being redesigned. It's going to be incredible in about 3 weeks. But what you're going to see in it are tons of white papers, because we are spending a lot of time going through data from other countries who do have pretty strong statistics when it comes to born alive births. And some of that I was putting out on social media last night and even today. And, you know, what I want people to understand is there are clear research studies looking at second trimester abortions and what they want to do to prevent live births from it. So they're talking about feticide, injecting dioxygen into the heart. And they were comparing and contrasting what the live birth rates look like, how they delivered that shot. So I need ABC to take a look at this and maybe school themselves.
It's amazing what they will do to cover this up. We just have about a minute and a half left. Melissa Odom, talk about these children, these babies that are born alive. I mean, this is the issue. The late-term abortion, a child survives an abortion, born alive. What happens to them in those states where there are no protections for those babies?
Minnesota is a really sad example of that, Tony. This story is out on YouTube, thanks to Brian Gibson and his team. But I got to meet a mom a number of years ago at an event and hug her. She's a mom much like my own biological mother, whose abortion failed. In this mother's circumstance, she was at an abortion clinic in St. Paul, and that dioxygen heart shot to the heart did not end her child's life. They realized through ultrasound that it didn't. And the abortion clinic staff said, right, in circumstances like this, we would break the baby's neck.
Wow.
This is the reality that people need to face. Well, and we need to do something with it.
Yeah. And just a couple more factoids for this is that Tim Walz, as the governor, there was provisions put in place to protect unborn babies that were born alive, to actually administer health care to them. He repealed that. He signed the repeal as governor. Kamala Harris, twice in the United States Senate, voted against protections for children who are born alive. The left clearly stands on this side, the other side of this, and they do not want the world to know what they're really all about. Melissa Oden, I want to thank you for joining us, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right, folks, after the break, we're going to continue this conversation with a new FRC report, which breaks all the facts down. Don't go away.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And let me again remind you, make your plans now to join us for this year's Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, October the 3rd through the 6th here in our nation's capital. Simply go to PrayVoteStand.org, PrayVoteStand.org, and you can find out more information. And you can register right there. Well, as I was discussing in the last segment, last night's presidential debate illustrated, illustrated a lot of stuff. But one of them was the stark contrast between the two parties and their view of life and babies and children. Now, this comes just as this week, as the Family Research Council Center for Human Dignity released an updated issue brief, Born Alive Abortion Survivors, Just the Facts, and an updated Born Alive Protection Map. Now, joining me now to discuss this issue and the map and why it is so important to have this information as the November election approaches is Mary Sox. She is the director for the Center for Human Dignity here at the Family Research Council. Mary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me on, Tony.
So before we get to this report, I want to play a clip from last night where this was a part of the discussion. In fact, it appears that the vice president conflated a lot of different things together, talking about IVF, abortion, health care. And, of course, I want to be very clear, health care should not include abortion. Abortion is not health care. But I want to see if you can make sense out of what she had to say. Play clip number four.
Couples who pray and dream of having a family are being denied IVF treatments. What is happening in our country? Working people, working women who are working one or two jobs, who can barely afford childcare as it is, have to travel to another state to get on a plane sitting next to strangers to go and get the health care she needs. Barely can afford to do it, and what you are putting her through is unconscionable.
Mary, what's she talking about?
Well, it's really difficult to say because what she said was so incoherent, but it appears that she's trying to convince the American people that IVF is illegal in states where unborn life is protected. I wish that we lived in a world where every child was protected from the moment of fertilization, but that's just not true. And as it stands at this moment, IVF is legal in every state of the country.
when she talks about the life issue, Kamala Harris is trying to instill fear in people. But at the same time, she wants to deny the reality that an unborn child is killed in the seventh, eighth, ninth month of pregnancy. Kamala Harris, she doesn't know how the American people feel about unborn children. And she recognizes, though, that she is out of step with it. So she has to lie about these issues.
I mean, it's just bizarre. It's just a bizarre statement that you got to get on a plane and to go get health care. It's just, but I guess that's what happens when you lie about these things. So let's talk about the lie, the big lie of the 2024 election. Last night, I played the clip in the previous segment with Mary Oden that the moderator, Lindsay Davis, says that there's no place in this country where babies are allowed to die after they're born, that's not happening in this country. Let's talk about the release of the report this week here at the Family Research Council.
You know, again, I wish what she said was true, but that's just not a reality. We released a report this week on babies born alive following an abortion, and with just eight states reporting. And these reports are done by abortionists who intended to kill the unborn child. There have been reports of 277 babies born alive. And think about that. The person who is making this report is someone who was paid to kill the child. They have every incentive not to report that. So we know that this number is not anywhere near the number of actual babies who survive abortions and then are either left to die or are actively killed.
Mary, let me ask you a question. Is it in their minds this baby doesn't exist and therefore is not allowed to die because they feel like they're aborting that baby? The baby has no right to live. Therefore, if the baby survives, really doesn't matter because we wanted to kill it anyway.
Exactly. And you know, even in Tim Walz's state of Minnesota, they had laws requiring that these babies who were born alive be given healthcare on par with what another baby of the same gestational age would receive. And Tim Walz actually repealed those laws. And in fact, he repealed laws requiring the proper burial of those babies. So he really does want to pretend that these children just don't exist, that they're somehow just pieces of medical waste that can be done away with and thrown in the trash.
Now, very few states require reporting on these numbers. How were you able to get this information?
Well, the states who require the reporting, they issue actually pretty transparent reports of the number of babies who have survived abortions. Some of them require different levels of reporting. There are some that require you to say what the abortionist who was there did, or what the physician who intervened did to help that child. Of the eight states that require reporting, they do issue actual transparent reports.
Very quickly, to those who would say, oh, this is an infanticide, what would you say?
It's a baby. And it was a baby from the moment that that child was born. And if you want further proof of this, take a look at the DC-5 and take a look at those babies whose remains were recovered there and look at them and see, gosh, there is no denying that that is a little tiny baby who deserves our protection.
Mary Sock, I want to thank you for joining us today and a great report. And folks, you can find it at TonyPerkins.com as well. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, check it out at TonyPerkins.com. You actually see the map as well. After the break, Suzanne Bounty joins me to talk about wokeness in business.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at The Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Be sure and mark your calendars. Pray Vote Stand Summit coming up October the 3rd through the 6th. In fact, do more than mark your calendars. Go ahead and go online and register if you've not already done so. Go to PrayVoteStand.org. That's October the 3rd through the 6th right here in our nation's capital. Our word for today comes from Proverbs 27, verse 11. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. While our children will choose their own path, investing in them initially will likely yield a positive return later in life. Our worldview, how we see and process the world around us, our values, and our understanding of what's right and wrong are actually formulated between the ages of 15 months and 13 years. Train up your child in the way that they should go. To be sure, God has given every human being a free will to choose to follow him or not. But Scripture makes abundantly clear that parents must do all they can to help their children make the right choices. We're living in incredibly evil times where Satan's schemes have been revealed with remarkable clarity for those able and willing to see. Public education, social media, and entertainment have become prime tools for Satan to ensnare and destroy our children. Parents, take your God-given authority as a parent and protect your children. To find out more about our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. All right, before I bring in my next guest, I want to go back and kind of wrap up last night's debate because, you know, for a moment I felt like I was in Burger King. There were so many Whoppers being served up. But I want to play a clip. I hadn't played this one yet. This is clip number five. This is Donald Trump pressing Kamala Harris on where would she draw the line on abortion? You know, at what point would you protect an unborn child? Clip five.
And the other thing, you should ask, will she allow abortion in the eighth month, ninth month, seventh month?
Come on.
Okay, would you do that? Why don't you ask her that question?
Why don't you answer
That's
the
problem.
Question? Would you
because
veto?
Under Roe v. Wade, you could do abortions in the seventh month, the eighth month, the ninth
That's
month, and probably after birth.
It is true. It is absolutely true. That is the scheme under Roe, which they say they will put in place. The Women's Health Care Act, which Nancy Pelosi put forward and actually passed the House, that's exactly what it does. and it will eradicate almost every pro-life law in the nation. Again, there could not be, well, there could be a clearer contrast, but there is a pretty sharp contrast between the two parties. You know, one likes babies. The other does not. It's very clear in their policies. Well, I'm going to transition to another topic because this is interesting, very interesting. Recently, the legacy media made a big push to proclaim that 88 corporate leaders have announced that they are endorsing Kamala Harris for president. Now, you know, everybody takes note, all business community is with Kamala Harris. And these endorsements may reflect the ongoing shift to Democrats becoming the party of big business and corporate interest. And that, there's no lie about that. I've talked about that all the time. But a closer look at the actual list of signatories is incredibly revealing. Almost all of the recognizable brands in this list of endorsements had former. These are washed up wokers who signed on. Now, does this reflect corporate fear, maybe, that has kind of driven them away from making public embracements of woke candidates like Kamala Harris? Does it show that the anti-woke pushback of everyday Americans is working? Joining me now to discuss this and more is Suzanne Bowdy, editorial director and senior writer for The Washington Stand. Suzanne, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So the headlines made it look like all these business leaders, corporate America, lining up behind Kamala Harris. And as I said, to be true, you know, the business community has gone left. But there's more to this story.
Absolutely. And the headlines are doing exactly what they intended, which is if you just skim those headlines, you come away with the impression that everyone in corporate America thinks Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have had great economic policy, and they haven't. But if you actually click on that headline and you read those names, as you said, 44 of the 88 of those names from recognizable brands are past leaders, past executives, which to me says these businesses are seeing what's happening to Bud Light, to Harley Davidson, to Coors Light, to all of these businesses and saying, we want no part of that. We don't want the pushback to come at our door. The punishment has been too great to our profit margins. And so we're going to play it safe. And let me read some of these brands to you, because these would be the next targets. We're talking about Sam's Club, Walgreens, Starbucks, Xerox, American Express, American Airlines, Expedia, Pepsi, Ford, GoDaddy, Lyft. These are companies that American consumers can take out their frustrations on, and they have been for the last 17 months.
But in this case, these are former CEOs.
Yes. So they don't speak on behalf of the company. They actually don't even qualify as business leaders. They're former business leaders. They don't actually even have jobs with these companies
anymore. Is this corporate America trying to have it both ways?
Oh, I absolutely think so, because attached to those names is Pepsi, is Ford, is Zillow, are all of these things. So they can say, well, we kind of lean this way, but it's not our official spokesperson saying this much.
But this actually is something to celebrate, in a sense, because this shows that consumers have had a profound impact upon these brands by their reaction to things like, you know, like Bud Light, Tractor Supply, John Deere. I mean, the message is getting through.
I think the message of this is, if you're an American who's taken a stand for your values with your dollar, you're winning. And I think 17 months ago, when Bud Light slapped the face of Dylan Mulvaney on their cans, they had no idea that this sustained, potent pressure would come to the doorsteps of all of these brands. And you have to also credit the activists who for years have fought this battle in the dark without much help. And now you have the people like Robbie Starbuck, who's exposing these brands, exposing the policies going on behind closed doors. In fact, just last week, Coors Light and also Ford said, we're no longer taking part in the Human Rights Campaign Equality Index for corporate businesses. And that is a major slap in the face of what many consider to be the largest LGBT lobby. I mean, they are scrambling to figure out how to get their footing back at this point.
It's amazing. You look back on it. I can't imagine that Bud Light ever thought that Dylan Mulvaney on their can would cause consumers to open a can of their own, you know, whooping up on them after that. I mean, it's had a profound impact on consumers. But I think we need to realize where the left still is going with this and how businesses will continue to do this as long as they can get away with it. I'm going to play a clip. This is of Kamala Harris back in 2017 talking about wokeness. And just, you know, she's trying to put on kind of a new appearance of being more moderate, if you will. Play that clip.
We have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. and you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
How is that for a campaign slogan in 2024? I mean, they need to be playing this on repeat in campaign ads.
But again, the good news is that as people have said, you know what, enough is enough, and they stand up and they verbalize their opposition, and they also use their dollars, voting with their dollars, voting with their feet, that it makes a difference.
It's a tangible thing that all of us can do if we're paying attention to the right things. And, you know, you always say courage breeds courage. And I think for a lot of years, people thought, well, I'm just one person. What can I do? But you see what happens when an army of conservatives, and it's not just conservatives. One thing I would say to Kamala Harris is she's in trouble because 3/4 of Americans don't want politics in the marketing of any brand. In fact, they just did a new poll in July that said 3 out of 4. Now, that crosses all the parties. That crosses race, age.
You know, that's very interesting. I was just talking to John Sorensen, who is actually, by the way, they're a co-sponsor of the Value of Voters, the Prevote Stand Summit, a evangelism explosion. And they were, I was in Kansas City this weekend, and they were actually there. I was there for something else. But they were out doing evangelism explosion, where they were having conversations. They were witnessing to people. They were just having conversations on the street. And he said every person they stopped, when they asked, said, can I ask you a question, they said, is it political?
Wow.
And then when they said no, oh, sure. Every person talked to them once they realized it wasn't a political question. We've become so polarized in this country, and in part it's because of this stuff that is being force-fed down Americans' throat that they're just sick and tired of it.
But I also think there's a fear factor to that.
Yeah,
I mean, nobody wants to be the only person who says, oh, you know, I don't agree with this LGBT activism. But when there are millions of people making one big statement, it is so powerful where we've come in just 2 years. I mean, things people never thought possible.
We can make these statements and we can express ourselves without being. Look, there's going to be conflict at times, but we don't have to be disagreeable in the way we disagree. And that, look, we have every right as an American to express our views. And frankly, if we're not doing so, we're not speaking out, we're not using our dollars in a way that fosters an environment that the values we care about and trying to instill in our children can go forward, then we're doing a disservice to our families, to our community, and to our country.
Absolutely. I believe it's a biblical mandate, not only the stewardship aspect, but in Colossians, everything you eat and drink due to the glory of God. This is one of those things where we can make a huge difference just in the minute choices we're making in the grocery aisle.
Right. Yeah, you can't bring glory to God in Starbucks.
I mean, you sure can't. Thank you. Yes.
Well, I mean, look, I think about these things, and I know my kids, who are adults now, they think about these things, and I think we need to think through all of these elements when we make purchases. And sometimes we drive past certain places. And sometimes we do without. You know, we'll just say, all right, I don't need that. Just because we do not want to facilitate those who are actually taking our profits, the profits they gain from us, and using them against us.
And also look what's happened when you've done that. People are listening. The people that have the power to make these decisions, to pull themselves out of these DEI, pro-trans, LGBT policies are listening to the consumer. So I think everyone's making a difference, even just one person.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the Prevote Stand Summit that's coming up October 3rd through the 6th. There's still room for people to register and be there. Let's talk about who's going to be there.
We have a great lineup, including someone you might know, Tony Perkins, some guy named Tony Perkins.
How about that?
Yeah, Mike Huckabee. We have Jack Hibbs. We have Pastor Gary Hamrick. We have Oz Guinness, the Benham brothers, Aaron Hawley, the better half of Senator Josh Hawley, who
well,
we all love.
He told me he's coming, too.
Well, we'll hold him to that because this is radio.
All right.
But there are also some new faces, too, that we're excited about. We've never had Sissy Graham Lynch. We've never had Vodi Bakum. So those are a couple people you can also look forward to hearing from. And we also will have a lot of really interactive panels on the issues that matter right now. I mean, we'll be diving into Title IX and parental rights, education, the transgender movement, religious freedom, et cetera. So
the name does reflect what we do.
Absolutely.
And there was a reason we went from Values Voter Summit a few years back to Pray Vote Stand Summit, because we realize that our nation is the battles that we're fighting, these issues that are coming before us. And never has this been clear when we're talking about, just like from the debate last night, children, their lives being taken after birth. The Democratic Convention, where they had an immobile abortion clinic outside the convention where nearly two dozen abortions were done. We're in a spiritual battle. And the only way we can win that spiritual battle and hope to prevail is, number one, through prayer and through biblical truth. And so what folks are going to see at the Pray Vote Stand Summit, they're going to get plenty of information. They're going to rub elbows with a number of political leaders. But we're going to pray. We're going to be informed so that we can vote biblical values, and we're going to be equipped to stand for that truth. Not just on November 5th, but November 5th and beyond, we have to stand for that truth.
And I would add that one of the really cool, unique things about this year, this is our 19th year of doing this national summit, is that we've added an evening on Thursday night. This is new. We've not done this before on the 3rd, where we're actually going to intentionally set aside time to pray, set aside time to worship and reflect before we even get into the issues, because we believe that is so important.
And who's speaking that night?
Mike Huckabee and Bishop Vincent Matthews, who's always a favorite at the summit, and perhaps more. We'll see.
Well, it is. It's going to be a critical time for us to gather, to pray for our nation, to make sure we're prepared, because we've been talking about this. We're going to continue to talk about this, but there are 10 states that have measures on their ballot related to abortion, trying to advance abortion. So people need to be equipped of how to counter that. That's some of the information they're going to gain at this year's summit as well.
And also, it's not just the White House, as you have been intentional about pointing out. There's so many down-ballot races, down to school board, from president to school board, that people need to engage on, and we hope to inform them about those as well.
And dog catcher. Because we need godly dog catchers, especially cat catchers up in Ohio.
Springfield, Ohio.
Yeah, that's right. Suzanne Bowdy, great to see you.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. And folks, great to have you with us as well. I hope you will join us for this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit. We need to be praying, okay? And I'm serious about that. We need to be praying each and every day for our nation, for our leaders. And as Suzanne said, this is not just about the presidential election. It is about the congressional elections. I was just up on the Hill earlier today having lunch with the Speaker. The House is going to be very close. The Senate's going to be very close. We've had governor's races. We have state legislative races. We have attorneys general races. There's so many races on the ballot, school boards, city councils, and, yes, dog catchers. So we need to be praying, we need to be voting, and we need to be standing for truth. And we'll help you do that at this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit. So come and join us October 3rd through the 6th. Well, that's all we have time for today. So let me again leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.